Well, it's a joy to have each of you. As Brother Daniel mentioned, there's a Connect card in front of you. If you are visiting with us for the first time, or maybe the first time in a long time, fill that out if you don't mind. There's a guest services counter out in the lobby. Drop it by. We've got a gift for you. And I'm thankful for the privilege it is of mine to tell you my sister and brother-in-law, my sister Julie and her husband Randy are here with us. And well, not only my sister, but then wonderful friends as well. It's great when family can be friends. And we're thankful for her and her husband. Brother Randy is a wonderful brother in Christ as well, but also he's one of the most capable men I know, and I'm so thankful that he's taken my sister off our hands for us. We were worried about it there for a long time, and they are wonderful, wonderful, not only family, but friends, and he truly is a brother in Christ as well, and thank God for them being here. And we're thankful for our speaker this morning. Now, Dr. Don Sisk is the Director Emeritus of Baptist International Missions Incorporated. That's the largest independent Baptist mission agency with hundreds and hundreds of missionaries around the world. Dr. Sisk was a faithful missionary focusing on the field that God had called him to and seeing people saved and mentored and trained and discipled. And then God took him out of that field and then gave him the world at his field. And so then wanted him to be the worldwide director of BIMI. And God has faithfully used him for all of these years. And now he not only has influenced missionaries, but now he's also, God's in his later years, he has almost hurried him up to try to grab young people and trainers of young people and training them to go and reach the world. So he's been a great encouragement to Bible colleges, and he's been a teacher and a mentor and an encourager to so many people. And so it was just a privilege for us at Buffalo Ridge to get to have him preach. He's going to preach for us now. He'll preach in just a little later this evening as well. And we'll mandate that he gets a nap so that after this he can go get rested up over the ministry house. After we feed him good, we're going to take care of this preacher all the way through. But he's a real friend of Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church, and I'm so thankful that he's my friend as well. And Dr. Sisk, would you come preach to us? What a joy to have you back at Buffalo Ridge.
Thank you. Thank you, Pastor Hurd. It'd be superfluous for me to say that I am happy to be here, okay? Because at my age, I'm happy to be anywhere in the world, okay? But it is a great joy to be here, and I thank God for you, dear people, and thank you, Pastor Herdman, for allowing me this privilege. Open your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. Now, it's talking here about running a race, and that's usually what I would preach about. I remember a few years ago being in Dallas, Texas in a conference, and the theme of the conference was running the race. And when the speaker introduced me, now this has been about 10 years ago, but when he introduced me, he said, "Now, Brother Sisk has run his race." And I thought, okay, if I have, I'm dead, amen? Because the race is not over till we're finished. But that's not what I'm preaching about tonight, or this morning. But notice the reading, if you would. Hebrews chapter 12. If you are able and would like to, would you just stand to honor God's word as I read this morning? You follow me in your Bible as I read, okay? Hebrews chapter 12. "Wherefore, seeing we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witness, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us." I love this verse. "Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God." Now here's what I want us to think about today. "For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be weary and faint in your mind." Look at just the word. Consider him. Consider him. Dear Lord, I thank you for this great church. I thank you for the great history. And I think of so many great things that have come from Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. Now, I pray, dear Lord, you'll help me to be a blessing to these people today. I'd sure like to do that. But I realized that the only way I could be a blessing to them or anyone is that you would bless and help me. You said it very clearly, John 15:5. I'm the vine, you're the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. And then that great thought, without me you can do nothing. So Lord, I realize this morning I am totally dependent on you. Without you, I could do nothing. But dear Lord, I pray that you'll help me, that you'll anoint my mind that I could think right, my lips that I could speak right, my heart that I would be right. And Lord, whatever you do today or any time in our lives, we'll be very, very careful to bend our knees and bow our head and give you all the glory. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. You may be seated. Look at the word consider. There are many synonyms for that word. Give thought to, reflect on, mull over, meditate, think about. There's a lot of synonyms for the word consider. It literally means to observe, to feel about, which care or caution to gaze on reflectively, or steadily to regard, to study, to weigh, to contemplate, to apply one's mind to something in order to increase one's knowledge or understanding, or to reach a decision about it. Many of the believers were looking back as a result of turning back to the world. The book of Hebrews basically was written to urge them not to turn back, but to endure. The emphasis of the book is endurance. Don't quit. Finish the race. The writer is saying, look around. Others have finished well, so can you. A great cloud of witness in chapter 11. And they, with patience, ran the race. And then he urged them, lay aside the extra weight and run to the end. In other words, practice is over. Run. Look at it, others. We have been victorious. It's profitable. And laying aside those things which hinder us is necessary. However, if we are to be victorious, we must heed the exhortation of the writer. Consider him. And he's talking about Jesus. Consider Jesus. Now, the writer of Hebrews, and we do not really know who it is. I was in a Sword of the Lord conference one time, and Dr. Jackow said, I think it was John R. Rice, okay? I don't think it was John R. Rice, but he was emphasizing how long John R. Rice had been on the earth, okay? So first of all this morning, let's just consider who he is. By the way, not who he was, because he's always been. Consider who he is. He is the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last. There's never been a time when he was not, and there will never be a time when he is not. Amen. He is the eternal God. He is the Prince of Peace. He is the one who is altogether lovely. He is the impeccable, sinless Son of God. He's the lily of the valley. He's the bright morning star. He's the creator of the universe. He spoke the world into existence. He is the controller of the universe. Thank God he has not relinquished his authority. He will consummate the world according to his divine plan. We know what is going to happen because we have read the last chapter in the book. Amen. He is a miracle worker. He is the kinsman redeemer. He is related to us as humans, and he is able to redeem. He is our example as a humble servant. Yet he is the King of kings and the Lord of all. He is the suffering Savior. He bare our sins. He is the resurrected Lord. He is alive. He is the mediator. He ever lives to make intercession for us. He is the coming Lord of lords and King of kings, and we will see him. And when we see him, we will be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Isaiah the prophet tells us that his name is to be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Isaiah saw him as the thrice holy God, and he fell on his feet. He fell at his feet. And by the way, when we with the eyes of faith see him, we too will fall on our face. That's true worship. Even his arch enemies had to admit, I find no fault in him. And by the way, the reason he couldn't find any fault in him, there wasn't any fault in him, amen. So consider his person. Now, when you have need of a Savior, could I suggest that you consider him? And by the way, the 8 billion people on planet Earth, every one of them needs a Savior. Why? There's none righteous, no, not one. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way. Every man, woman, boy, and girl on planet Earth needs a Savior. And by the way, he is not just one way to heaven. He is the only way to heaven. Years ago, when I was in language school in Japan, my teacher was a Buddhist. And we were studying something, this thing is like this and so forth. And she said to me one day, and I always kept my New Testament with me when I was studying Japanese with my Buddhist teacher. But she said, heaven is like Mount Fuji. There's a lot of roads that lead to Mount Fuji. But it does not make any difference which road you take. All of them will take you to Mount Fuji. And I said to her that day, I said, Miss Sato, by the way, the name Sato means sugar. And she was the only woman that my wife would let me call sugar, okay? And I said, Miss Sato, there's a lot of roads to Mount Fuji, but there's only one road to heaven. And Jesus said, I'm the way, not one of the ways. I'm the way, I'm the truth, not one of the truth. I'm the life, not one. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. And no man comes unto the Savior but by me. I love to read about the conversion of Saul of Tarsus. Saul of Tarsus had one goal in mind, to wipe out the name of Jesus. To get rid of all of the people that were following him. And he went into houses and drug people out of the houses, took them where they would be executed and so forth. What a horrible, horrible man Saul of Tarsus was. And then one day he got permission to go to Damascus. And there to do the same thing that he was doing in Jerusalem. But on the road to Damascus, before he got there, he saw a shining light, a bright light. And by the way, it was Jesus Christ. Now I really believe this is the only time that Jesus ever appeared to anyone after his ascension back to heaven. And that shows the grace of God, amen. Here, the greatest persecutor of the Christian movement. And Jesus met him. And when he did, he was no match for Jesus. And he heard him say, "Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me?" And by the way, when people are persecuting Christians, they are really persecuting God. And then Saul asked those two very important questions. "Who art thou, Lord?" And he told him who he was when he said, "Lord." "And what would thou have me to do?" Now think about it. "Who art thou, Lord?" You know what Jesus said? He didn't read all those things that I said about him today. But he said one thing. "I'm Jesus. I'm Jesus." Oh, what does that mean? "I'm the Savior." Hey, Paul, that's what you need. You need a Savior. And so he simply said, "I'm Jesus." And the greatest persecutor of the church became the greatest proclaimer of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. No wonder John Newton wrote, "Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see." Paul was religious. Religion never saved anyone. He was zealous for his religion. He was sincere, but he was lost. He needed a Savior. Could I suggest for just a moment today, you would just consider your relationship to Jesus Christ? Has there been a time and a place in your life when you knew you were lost and on your way to hell and you could not save yourself? And in simple, childlike faith, you trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior. Many times when children are saved, we have the idea they got to think like adults to be saved. And that's totally opposite from the truth. And Jesus said, "Now, you adults can be saved. But if you're going to be saved, you're going to have to start thinking like children." You know what? A child just believes what you tell him. And we all need a Savior. Consider him. John 14:6. "I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. There's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." I love 1 Timothy chapter 2. Listen to a reading of a few verses from there. And I believe this is so necessary for our thinking in these days. "For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior." Now listen very carefully. "Who will have all men to be saved?" Could I go over that again? "Who will have all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of truth?" And by the way, don't let anyone ever tell you that Jesus only died for a certain number of people. "For God so loved the world." What world? The world of mankind, that he gave his only begotten Son. "That whosoever," and aren't we glad for that word? believeth on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Let me read the rest of this. Who will have all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of truth? For there is one God. And you say, well, isn't that kind of narrow-minded? One God. Well, it gets more narrow-minded, amen. For there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man, Christ Jesus. And I know the world today, when we say something like that, they consider us as totally intolerant. But the group that considers us totally intolerant are totally intolerant to people who believe the Bible. It doesn't matter what man says. Jesus is the only way to heaven. And thank God, he died for the sins of the whole world. Amen. Little children, these things write unto you that you sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father. And he, Jesus Christ, is the propitiation for our sins. And not for our sins only, but for the sins of the whole world. Could I suggest this morning that if you need a Savior, think about him. Amen. Meditate on him. Look to him. Gaze at him. He's the Savior. Number three, consider him when you're being tried. By the way, you will be tried. You will be tempted. I love 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. For there hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. And by the way, many times when we're going through a trial or a temptation, and God never tempts anybody. The devil tempts people to sin. God tries people for service. And when we're going through trials and temptations, many times we have the tendency to think, nobody has ever gone through what I'm going through. Well, listen. There is no temptation taking you, but such as is common to man. And then I love, but God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able, but will with the temptation make a way of escape. So it doesn't matter what temptation we're going through. And you've heard people make this excuse after they've sinned. I was tempted to the point that I could not resist. That's not true. God is faithful, who will not allow us to be tempted above that which we're able to resist. So when we're tempted to sin, we either yield to sin or we look for the way out of the temptation. He was tempted. Jesus Christ was tempted. He was tried, but thank God he overcame the temptations. He endured to the end. We have the same resource that he had. We have the Word of God, the Bible. Stay with the Bible. Hebrews 4:15 says this. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all manners tempted as we are. And don't you like those last two words? Yet without sin. We have the resource to overcome any trial, any temptation. Let me close tonight, this morning, by saying, young people, young couples, middle-aged people, even old people, consider your life. You remember what James said? What is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little. Your life is short. But whatever time you have left, and would to God, more young people would consider what God wants them to do rather than what they want to do. Remember Jesus? I came not to do my own will, but the will of my Father that sent me. My meat is to do His will and to finish His work. I do all things to please my Father. Wouldn't it be better, rather than us deciding what we want to do, where we want to live, the kind of lifestyle we want to have, wouldn't it be well today if we would stop and consider, what does God want me to do? You remember Isaiah, the 6th chapter, when he had saw that thrice holy God, high and lifted up, and he had his sins forgiven. And then he heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? And who will go for us? Very generic. He didn't say, Isaiah, could I send you? Isaiah, would you go for us? No. Very generic. Whom shall I send? And who will go for us? And Isaiah said, here am I, send me. Now, I preach in a lot of colleges, Bible colleges, seminaries, and so forth. And I kind of joke with the young people, but it's not a joke. I say, Isaiah heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send and who will go forth? And Isaiah said, here am I, send me. And most of you young men are saying, here's my sister, send her. And you go to any Bible college in America, and there'll be more young ladies that'll be willing to go to the mission field than they are men. With 8 billion people on planet Earth, and that happened November the 15th of last year, when the population reached 8 billion people. Only 6% of them speak English. But 90% of all the preaching that is done in the English language. Something is wrong with that, is it not? And by the way, churches are giving more for missions at this time than any other time in the history of missions. But fewer people are going. And you remember the Lord's only prayer request? He never said, pray for me with this and that. No, one time. The harvest truly is plenteous. By the way, at that time, there were only about, at the most, 500 million people living on planet Earth. Now there's 8 billion. And he said, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. What's the answer, Lord? Pray therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he has sent forth laborers into his harvest. Could I ask you a simple question this morning? Have you ever really prayed and said, dear Lord, I'll go anywhere you want me to go. I'll be anything you want me to be. I'll do anything you want me to do. I'll become anything you want me to become. Have you ever really made a total commitment of your life to God? If we did, I think we'd see a little bit of change in the number of people that are saying, here am I, send me. In closing, consider him. Consider Jesus. Let your conversation be without covetousness. And be content with such things as you have. For he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. By the way, whatever God leads you to do, whatever God speaks to you about doing, you can be sure that he'll provide for you. I will never leave you regardless of your position in life, of your need or your geographical location, consider him. Let's bow our heads for prayer. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed, in just a minute, the pastor will come and lead us in a prayer. But with your heads bowed and your eyes closed, how many of you that would like to join me in testifying? Brother says, there was a time and a place in my life when I knew I was a sinner, lost sinner, on my way to hell. I could not save myself. The Bible simply says, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. There was a time when I knew I was a sinner, and I, in simple childlike faith, trusted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And this morning, I have biblical reasons to know that if I should die this very minute, I would spend eternity in heaven with God. I've considered him, and I've trusted him as my Savior. If that's your testimony, why don't you just lift your hands real high for just a minute, then put them right back down. God bless you. And that's a wonderful sight. I wonder if there's a man or woman, or boy or girl, that's here this morning and say, "Preacher, I've never trusted Jesus as my Lord and Savior. I don't know that I'm saved and going to heaven, but I'd like to know that. I sure know that I don't want to die and spend eternity separated from God. Would you let me pray for you this morning? I do not know for sure I'm saved and going to heaven. I'd like to know that all my sins are forgiven and that heaven will be my eternal destiny. Would you lift your hand and just let me pray for you? I'll not call your name. I wouldn't know it. And I will not embarrass you in any way whatsoever. But if there's anyone here today that would say, I don't know Christ as my Savior. I've never trusted him. I do not know I'm saved and going to heaven. Would you just lift your hand? Let me pray for you. I wonder, as a Christian this morning, have you considered what God wants for your life? Have you considered what God wants? Not what you want, what you want. For you're not your own, you're bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are Christ. Pastor, come pray for us.
Well, as the message has been laid out to us, I hope that the Lord has dealt with your heart and you've done what our guest preacher that came to preach to us today had instructed us. Consider him. Well, really, it wasn't him, it was the Word of God. Have you considered him? If you're here today and you're saved and going through a great trial, my friend, I don't know why we always use the Lord's help as a last resource instead of a first response, but it seems like we do. But I would challenge you to consider him. Whatever you're going through, some sickness or heartache in your family or difficulty or problem that you don't know what the solution is, would you consider him? And then if there's somebody here unsaved, you've done what about everybody else in this room has done. You've laid awake at night worried, thinking, "Well, I don't know what will happen to me." Consider him, him being Jesus Christ. Whatever your need is, I can promise you, my friend, that the Lord is the answer. You say, "Pastor, that's a bold statement to say whatever the problem is, he's the answer." He is the answer. And would we consider him? Would you stand together with us if you're able as the ladies play something through? If God has moved upon your heart, I invite you to come today. Maybe you're here and not sure that you're on your way to heaven. Not sure Jesus is your Savior. Would you consider him? Would you step out and come? If you need help, and we'll just guide you through the Scriptures. We can't save anyone, but the Lord wants to save everyone. Maybe that's you today. You need to be saved. Would you step out and come? Perhaps you're saved, you need to be baptized. You'd like to come and present yourself for believer's baptism. Take that
bold statement, or bold step rather, and make that statement that I'm one of Jesus Christ. I'm His. He's my Savior, and I want to be baptized in likeness as He did. Maybe you're here today and you believe Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church would be the home, church home that God would have you here for. And I challenge you to come present yourself for membership. We're certainly thankful for what God is doing. And if you'd feel led of Him to be involved as a church, then certainly we'd like to have that as well. As they play through another verse, if God's dealing with your heart in any form or fashion, this altar is open for you. If you choose not to come to the altar, would you do what Dr. Siss said? Whatever you're going through right now, I know there's surgeries planned this week. I know there's tests planned this week. I know that people are moving this week. Others are shifting things around in their life. Whatever is going on in your life, I challenge you, my friend, to consider Him. Look to the Lord. Allow Him to guide, lead, and direct you in everything that you're doing. And would you just make an altar out of your pew right there where you're standing and just look to the Lord. Say, Lord, You are the answer. Thank You so much. You may look this way. Well, it's a joy to be in God's house this morning, and I'm so thankful for each of you. And we're very, very thankful this morning for Brother Jeff and Janine Wills. They are they were members here, have gone out serving the Lord, pastoring, and but then at one point, and then serving the Lord in another church down in South Carolina, but they're moving back home. Why wouldn't a person want to move to Northeast Tennessee? I think everybody should move here. And we love it. And I want you to come to this church when you move here. So if we can put that online. But the Wills are blessings already to us. And many of you know them. And they've been wonderful assets to the church in the past. They've been servants and used of the Lord. And they believe it's God's will they would join Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. And we're grateful for that. They're saved and baptized. And they know the Lord. And they would like to join. So we need a motion that we would do that. Brother Larry Trent makes that motion. And Andy Krause seconds that motion. All in favor, say aye. All opposed, same sign. All right, praise the Lord. We're certainly thankful, and they're right here by Brother Daniel on the front pew, and we're going to ask them to stay here just for a little while. A few of you can get by and greet them and introduce yourself to them. Maybe others, you know them for a long time, just get reacquainted. We're certainly thankful for that they are here again. And what a joy. I'm going to ask Brother Sisk to sit up here. If you'd like to come by and greet him, then you're welcome to do that, I know. Don't forget, next week we'll be changing that service. I want you to really pray for us. He sent me a note here just a moment ago. yes, sir.
Thank you for that beautiful house. I've just about decided I'm going to move here. It is absolutely phenomenal.
Amen.
Sometimes you go to prophet's chambers and they call up. And they get a junk from all over the country, and whoever don't need something, take it there, and it's not worth having. But everything in there is new, it is beautiful, and that basket is going to put me back about 10 times.
Well, we want to fatten you up while we're here, so amen. Amen. Thank you so much, and we're certainly thankful for our Joshua Ministry House getting used, and thank you those that made the basket, and Brother Daniel, if you want to help him up there, or down right there, we'll let him sit right there on the front, and if you'd like to come by and greet him. Please pray for next week. Today, they sent me a note, 553 in church this morning right now. And we'd love to have a great crowd next Sunday as we start off those two services. So please pick which one works for you, of course. But then pray that God would be pleased to just bring us a great crowd and do something wonderful in our midst. And we're looking forward to it in a mighty, mighty way. Looking forward to God working, rather, in a mighty, mighty way. Well, I'm going to ask Brother Guy King, if you don't mind, Brother Guy, to come up here and dismiss us in prayer. And Brother Guy and Miss Davina, they're wonderful friends for a long time. And they, too, God moved them over this way. And they're blessings to the church, but they're blessings to us long before either one of us went to Buffalo Ridge. And I'm going to ask him to dismiss us in prayer. Amy and I are going to slip back to the back. If we can help you in any way, please stop by and see us. We'd love to greet you on the way out. And what a thankful heart we have for God allowing us to experience what He did today. And don't forget to come by and greet the Wills. We're certainly thankful they're here with us. Brother Guy, would you pray for us?
Dear Holy Father, I thank You for the blessing we had to come to church this morning and hear Brother Sis preach. Pray, Lord, that You'll help each of us to remember that You want to gather us under Your wings and protect us and care for us. that we cannot take care of ourselves. We need to learn to trust in Thee. Pray that You'll bless us this afternoon as we go home and as we go throughout the week. In Your name I pray these things. Amen.